Hey guys, it's Damien from Marketing Food Online. I hope you guys are having a great day again, as always. Okay, so labeling your food products. There is a lot of information that is out there about labeling your food products and following the guidelines that are set up by the FDA. So what is it that the FDA can allow you to do, and what does the FDA expect you to do? And how do you label if you have a food product and you're kind of concerned about the trade secret, the actual secret spice or the proportion or the ratio or the recipe? How do you label a product without giving that away? And that's a great question that I just got from one of our subscribers, and I thank you for sending that question to me. I'm going to go ahead and address that and explain how it works. And then what I'm going to do is put a link in the description directly to the FDA page on their website where you can read up on it. It is the link, honestly, is a little bit extensive. It's a little bit long, but to be quite frank, if you're going to be in the food business and you want to produce a product, I would honestly sit down, take the time to read it, and then you can move confidently forward with creating a label for your food product. So what I'm going to cover is not very glamorous. It's not very exciting and all that, but it is definitely information that you would need to know. And I'm going to sum it up as quick as I possibly can. I don't want to keep my time more than 10 minutes because I will put you to sleep if I went through the entire page from the FDA website. And like I said, you could take a look at the link and look much more details. But this information behind me will really recap the essence of what that whole page says, so you can get a better understanding. And plus, don't be afraid. Something I always try to stress in a lot of videos that I've done, I started this business about a little over 10 years ago. I knew absolutely nothing about any of this stuff, to be honest with you. I never did. I was just much like you. If you're just starting out, don't be afraid or don't be full of fear about not knowing something. Be excited about not knowing it, because the answer that you'll get for that question is out there. You just have to kind of hopefully watch my videos and it'll help you. But if you don't get the information from my videos, Google is always a great place to go to, and go directly to these government agencies' websites. You know, the FDA, the USDA. All of these agencies were set up for a reason, and their websites were set up for a reason, and they are loaded with information. If you have a question, Google it or ask me, and I will definitely let you know. So let me get into it really quick. Okay, so you have a food product. It has a variation of spices, okay? Has a variety of spices, which bring when you bring those ingredients together, you create a completed food product. And that is what you sell. So you're thinking, how do I label it without giving away, you know, a trade secret or a recipe? And that's a great question. So number one, trade secrets, the precise amounts and types are considered a trade secret. So here's what I mean. And I'm going to just create an imaginary food product for you really quick off the top of my head. So you have a food product that has cinnamon, nutmeg, cayenne pepper. And again, this is not something you want to bring together. I'm just coming up with the spices. Cayenne, salt and pepper, maybe a little bit of garlic and something like that. So if you want to list those spices on your label, you can, and that's not actually giving away a trade secret. The essence of what a trade secret is the proportion, the amounts, and how you mix and blend it, the process to make it, as well as the accumulative amount of each spice. That is considered your trade secret, okay? That is being very precise. If it's 1 teaspoon of this, 3 teaspoons of that, and a cup of sugar, and then stir it, and then you have to add your egg, and then you have to put this. The process to make it, that recipe, that trade secret, the amounts, you want to protect that part of it. If I were to produce a product and I had a label and I said the ingredients are sugar, flour, cornmeal, salt and pepper, cayenne pepper, and cinnamon, nobody's going to, you really honestly can't duplicate that recipe unless you go online and find someone else who've created something similar and they give you the proportions, okay? That is the key to having a trade secret, a trade recipe, is truly the process and the proportions, okay? If you're just listing a bunch of ingredients, flavorings, and such, spices, that is not necessarily giving it away. I mean, you don't have to, and I'm going to explain why you don't have to. But technically, you don't have to, unless it is an allergen that is listed on the FDA website that is considered an ingredient that has the potential to be create an allergic reaction in somebody. Tree nuts, peanuts, wheat, soy, eggs, dairy, and milk, those types of things are considered allergens. So they have to be listed, okay? If it's a spice or a seasoning, if you put cardamom or a little bit of cayenne, well, that's not considered by the FDA, that's considered a spice, okay? And I'm going to go over what you why you don't necessarily have to put it on there. Now, I would recommend that if you are creating a spicy food product, just keep this in mind. If you're creating something that's really spicy, it's if it's a New Orleans-styled Cajun or cayenne pepper seasoned nuts, you probably want to put cayenne pepper on there. You don't want to mislead a customer thinking that it's just a seasoned nut, and then they eat it, and it's like really hot and spicy. But technically, those spices are not considered allergens, okay? Or products that could create an allergic reaction, okay? Now, some people may be allergic to it, and again, that is one thing that's kind of the FDA is it doesn't specify on there about that being really specific, but if it's something that is spicy and hot, if it's Tabasco filled or something, I mean, obviously I would make an effort to include that as an ingredient, okay, on your listing. When you list your ingredients, if you've got Tabasco, you might want to put that in there. But spices and herbs and such are not necessarily expected to be on there, okay? So what the FDA considers a food allergen. And again, if it's an ingredient that they consider a food allergen, and there are specific, there is a list. And again, I'm going to put this link down below. You can't really see it, it's really small, but I'm going to put that FDA link directly to this information here, and you can read through that. As well, when you go to the FDA website, there is a page that gives you a specific list of what they consider allergens, and they need to be listed on your label. Like for us, for instance, we create a variety of products, and we use tree nuts. We have different types of nuts. We use wheat because we bake cookies. And we have eggs, and we have dairy, milk, and such, and butter because obviously we create baked goods. So on our allergen statement, we have all of that listed. Okay, so anything that is in this facility that we utilize to create a product, it either, well, it could be the potential to cross-contaminate or come in contact with other products that are maybe not necessarily be baked goods. They may be seasoned nuts, maybe they're pretzel rods, chocolate pretzel rods and such, but there are still those ingredients in our facility and we feel safer, we feel better putting those on the label, okay? FDA does not require them to be listed if they are considered GRAS, which is generally regarded as safe. So any item that is considered generally regarded as safe, they are not required by the FDA to be on your label, okay? And again, for the specific list of those, check the description down below and the link, click on it, and you can get more detailed information. If I were to put that page on here, I would need about 4 or 5 dry erase boards, and I don't have 4 or 5 dry erase boards. So, and what it is also is it a minor amount by volume, okay? If it's considered generally regarded as safe, so by volume, if let's say you were making a cinnamon cookie and you had a very minimal amount of cinnamon in it, there's very little, by volume, it would be considered something that is not an allergen of some kind that would have to be listed. Food labels may or may not have listed, and they are not required to. Food labels may or may not have them listed, but they're telling you here is that they are not required to have them. And what those are the ingredients that are considered generally safe, okay? Salt and pepper, spices and herbs of many kinds are considered by the FDA to be safe. Also based, again, upon the volume, okay? If you have a large batch of some type of food product and you're using like, again, don't quote me on the size of the quantity, but half of a quarter of a teaspoon or something, it's by volume is what it's going to be based upon, okay? And again, the specifics on the amounts and the types, you can definitely check out in the link. So the CFR, which is the Code of Federal Regulation Title 21, is the FDA link. Title 21, this is the specific link that I'll have down below. That is where this information and this video content is coming from. To kind of help you understand the regulations of what they do allow and what they expect from you and what you don't have to have on there. So this is really interesting here, and I'm going to give you a personal note as to why I think this is interesting to me. I actually have food allergies. I was a young kid, I was about in my mid-teens, I used to get really horrible migraine headaches all the time. almost every week, and I was eating things like Doritos, microwave dinners, processed meats, and a lot of other foods that had MSG. You may have heard of MSG. If you haven't, it's considered a food additive that enhances the flavor of food. But the process to create and make MSG is that at that point of the process to make it is derived from soy. That in some people has an allergic reaction. To me, migraines that I wouldn't wish upon anybody because they were horrible. I read up on it. I educated myself about what MSG was and the different names that it goes under. I cut out all the foods that had that in my diet, and lo and behold, I don't get those headaches anymore. So I kind of figured out myself as to what it was. Self-diagnosed, that's the word. Diagnosed myself, cut it out of my diet, and found out that I don't get them. So I'm very allergic to that stuff, and I don't eat any of that stuff anymore. Thank God I figured that out. And that's what brings me to this point. The FDA regulations state spice, natural flavors, and artificial flavors may be declared as a spice, natural flavor, artificial flavors, and they don't have to go into any more explanation as to what those spices are, what those natural flavors are, or what an artificial flavor is. You only have to state the one of those three terms, but you don't have to spell it out, which is, in my opinion, extremely unsafe for a lot of people who don't even know they have the allergen to these types of ingredients. And I looked at a lot of the packaging. I know packages like the back of my hand because before I had my business, as I told you before, I was in food retail for nearly 28 years before I had my own business. So ever since I was a kid in high school, I've been around food and the food business and the food world. And I know the packaging and I know the word.